Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Today's daf is Babasu Daf Chafal. If you're holding on Daf Chafam and Beis, we are at the Mishnah, the second Mishnah, on the bottom of Daf Chafam Beis. Today's shiur is sponsored once again by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Leila Nishmas, his mother, Golda Bas Simcha, Shalom, as well as by Daniel Sadian, for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Hatzlacha for our soldiers and our captives. And just to mention again, although we sponsored yesterday's shiur in honor of this, but today is the actual Shloshim for Elimo Zimbalist, his Nishma. And it's also sponsored in honor of the bris of David Yakir Geitzels, son of Nava and Yisrael Geitzels. David Yakir is named after the Chavrusa Shaft from the Gush, who were killed in battle together. They learned together in Yeshiva Shalmata, and they're learning together in Yeshiva Shalmaila. And mazel tov to the Geitzels family. They should see much nachas from David Yakir. Today we're going to discuss the following. First, the Mishnah is going to talk about what members of a particular chatzar are able to stop other members of the chatzar from doing within their chatzar, meaning what sorts of activities are considered to be cramping my lifestyle that I'm not able to live with such a thing. The Gemara is then going to discuss the takana of Reb Shimon Gamla, whose great contribution to Jewish history is that he gave us yeshivas. He gave us the concept of a Talmud Torah, of educational institutions, and that's going to lead the Gemara into a bunch of educational advice. The Gemara is going to quote the Shita of Rava, who holds that neighbors are not allowed to stop a Malami Tinokas from opening up, and the Gemara is going to have three challenges to the Shita of Rava. And then it's going to continue with more advice about how to run a school, how many people can be, how many Talmidim in each class, and things of that nature. And then on Amud Beis, we're going to get into the Sugya of Yorid Lumnaso Shel Chavero, of Ruinous Competition, which comes up all the time in Batei Din from across the country. It always comes out one way in terms of the maskana, but it's a fascinating sugya in terms of what is permitted, what is not permitted in terms of ruinous competition. So let's begin at the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Chaf Amud Beis. So Chanush Shebechatzer, if you have a store that's in a chatzer, so Yachalim Chos Biado, the other members of the chatzer could make a machav. They could say it's making a racket. I can't sleep from all the rash that's going on from people coming in and out of the chatzer. The Adra writes that there are really two reasons that they could have had a taina. They could have said that it's Hezekriya, a chatzar is a fairly private place, and they have people coming in and looking at me all the time. Or they could have said because of the noise, Nakarech Mishnei Taimim. You know, it's just the Mishnah chooses one of the two perfectly viable reasons, or that the better of the two reasons is the noise, because preventing someone from being able to sleep really makes it very difficult to live, even more so than the lack of privacy of people coming in and out of the chatzer. There is no concept we ever find in Shas called Gezel Shena, but that is something that was invented, I imagine, in the Catskills in 1970s or something. But nevertheless, there is it's still usher to do. I mean, you're not allowed to keep people awake when they're trying to fall asleep. So that's the better of the two reasons, says the Yad Ramah. Avalosa kelim v'yotzei amocher. A person is allowed to make kelim or run a mill in his own house, and then he can go out and bring those kelim or the flour that he grinds in his own house mocher b'toch hashuk and go sell it in the marketplace in the public square. As long as all the work he's doing for that business is in his house, and the neighbors are not allowed to make are not able to come with a taina and say that we can't sleep because you're making kelim, so you're banging hammers all the time, or you're running a mill, so the grinding of the mill is keeping us awake, or you're running a yeshiva, so all the children here are keeping us awake all the time. They're not able to come with such a taina, because apparently we're going to see, as far as the tinokos are concerned, that there's a specific takanas chachamim that allows to have the tinokos coming in and out. So the Gemara originally thought that when we say velomi kala tinokos, it means that you made a store in your house and tinokos are coming to buy things from your store, and even though it's the sound of the children, you opened a candy shop in your chatzar, so the kids are running in and out to buy candies and baseball cards or whatever it is that kids are interested in buying, and that's the kol atinokos. So the Gemara says, well then, maishna seifa. Why is there a chilik between the reisha and the seifa? The reisha says that they're allowed to say, I'm not able to sleep because of the noise, and the seifa says that they cannot make a macha on account of the tinokos. So I'm going to buy Seifa Aslan L'Chatzar Acheres. The Seifa is talking about a person who sells in another Chatzar, that in such a case, the residents of that Chatzar that are close to the Chatzar are not able to make a Macha'a, even the Kol HaNichnasim and the Kol HaYotzim could be heard even from their Chatzar. So Amar Rava Ihach, if that's the case, that the Seifa is talking about a Chatzar Acheres, Lisni, Chatzar Acheres Mutar. There's an easy way to make that distinction that would have been much, much more clear to just say that if it's B'Chatzar Acheres, it's going to be Mutar. So Ella Amar Rava, Rava says, no, Seifa Asan, Litinokos Beis Rabba. No, the Seifa is talking about not Tinokos that are coming as customers of your candy store. No, it's talking about Tinokos Beis Rabba, and Umitakarnas Yeshua ben Gamla V'Yelach. And this is from the time of the Takana of Yeshua ben Gamla and on, that he was the one that set up the Takana to set up Malamdi Tinokos B'chal Ir, as we're soon going to see in the Gemara, and therefore a person can set up a Malamdi Tinokos in his house, or set up himself to be a Malamdi Tinokos in his house, and no one is able to stop him. The Nimuka Yosef points out he could have set up the Malamdi Tinokos in the Batei Knesios, Batei Midrashos that are designated for that, but we're not Matriachim, meaning whatever we can do to grease the wheels to help Jewish education, we do that, even though there are other options, meaning there are public places, there are places that are actually zoned for this. You have Batei Knesios and Batei Midrashos, so you could say you don't need zoning for Malamdi Tinokos. So whatever's going to help being Malamdi Tinokos, that's going to work. Who is Rabbi Shimon Gamlos? He was one of the Kohanim Gadolim in the Bayis Shemi. The Gemara in Yevamos tells us, Rashi points out, he was the person that he said about whom it was said that his wife Marta Bas Baitus paid Yanei HaMelech 3 kav of dinarim in order that he should be appointed Kohen Gadol. So even though he's a Tzadik Gomer, like we're going to see in this sugya, he's Zachro Soish Latov, we remember him for good. He changed Jewish history, but Rav Yosef called it a Kesher Rishaim, because there were other people that were more chashuv than him that should have been first in line for Kuna Gadola, and the fact that he was that his wife bribed his way into the Kuna Gadola does not reflect well on him. So he was a Tzadik Gomer, he was great, but his achievement of Kuna Gadola was not great. That's not the way the Kuna Gadola should have been decided. Dam Rabbi Dam Rav, Biram Zachor Oso Ish Latov. We should remember this man for good. Yoshua ben Gamla, his name is Yoshua ben Gamla. It's unclear whether his father's name was Gamla. We're soon going to see that Gamla is one of the key words in this sugya that relates to accessibility of a Malamdi Tinokos. So a lot of times you have someone who's called by a particular achievement or by a particular midah that a person has. Right, when we say that a person is a Ben Torah, we do not mean that his father's name was Torah. So it could be that Rabbi Shimon Gamla means he's the Rabbi Yeshua who's known for the Gamla, which we'll soon see is a critical part of the story over here. So we remember him for good. Had it not been for him, Torah would have been forgotten from Klal Yisrael. Initially, if someone had a father, the father would teach the child Torah. And if a person did not have a father, he wouldn't have anyone to teach him Torah. My drush, where did they darshan that the father should teach his son? Because it says v'limantem osam, v'limantem atem. It says v'limantem osam is mleichem l'daber bam. So the word osam is written without a vav. We just pronounce it osam. So we read it v'limantem atem, that you yourselves have an obligation to teach your children Torah. So others have Tosos points out, others have a girsa without the word osam over here. It's just from v'limantem, that v'limantem means you yourselves. That ultimately, it was the father's obligation to teach a child Torah on a Daraisa level. It's interesting that the Gemara uses this expression that if not for him, Nishtakach Torah Yisrael, the Torah would have been forgotten from Klal Yisrael. That lashon comes up elsewhere in Shas. The Gemara tells us in Masechah Shabbos that Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai said, Chas b'sholem shetishtakach Torah Yisrael, ki lo tishtakach mipi zaro. The Pasuk says that it will never be forgotten mipi zaro. So over here, the Gemara means to say it would have been forgotten amongst a significant segment of the population that didn't have a father. Meaning, lo tishakach mipizaro was a guarantee. It was not going to be forgotten from Klal Yisrael. The Torah can exist everywhere and will exist everywhere, and the Torah will accompany Klal Yisrael wherever we go. But it's still a tragedy when there are segments of the population that are cut off from an opportunity to learn Torah, right? It's I think that's what Rav Soloveitchik said. If he had the ability to write a 14th Ani Mamin, it would have been Vayihi ben Tzoa Aron, that wherever we go, the Torah will be able to thrive, and the Torah will thrive wherever we go. But it's not about the Torah losing out; it's about the many people losing out the opportunity to learn Torah. That's what the Marsha points out over here. So what did they do? Hiskinu. So if someone didn't have a father to teach him Torah, they were in trouble. So Hiskinu Shimushim Lamdi Tinokos Birushalayim. The initial takana was to establish Mamdei Tinokos in Yerushalayim. My darush, what's the drasha that they made that to dafka have in Yerushalayim? Because the pasuk says ki mitzion teitzei sora udvar Hashem Yerushalayim is the end of the pasuk is critical over here. That that's why they wanted to set up Mamdei Tinokos in Yerushalayim. So there's a critical tosus over here. He says, what was the hava mina that would work? Meaning the Gemara is going to say in the very next line, and that failed miserably because if you had a father who could drive carpool and bring you all the way to Yerushalayim, then you were good, and if you didn't, you were no good. So what was the hava mina that would work? Why would they even try to only set up Mamdei Tinokos in Yerushalayim? So Tosfos points out in Dibur HaMaskil Kimitzion Teitzei Sora Levisha Yerova Kedusha Gedol V'Kadim Oskim Ba'avoda Hayim Chuvan Liba Yosa Liyir Shemayim V'Lil Motora. Such a critical line of Tosfos. The Tosfos says that if you want to be able to educate children in Torah, they need to be exposed to Yerushalayim and to Ovdei Hashem. That when they see Yerushalayim and Ovdei Hashem, that's going to do more than anything else to guarantee their success in learning. So the Havamina is, where else can you be successful in teaching children Torah but in Yerushalayim, where people are busy doing the Avodah and people are busy in Yerushalayim, and you have that's what the Tosfos quotes, Gadol Maaser Sheni Shemaybe Lidei Talmud Levi Shayom Yerushalayim Ad Sheyochel Maaser Sheni Shlo. An amazing system that the Torah set up, that everyone's got to bring Maaser Sheni. Maaser Sheni, you get to eat yourself anyway. What's the whole kunz of Maaser Sheni? Is that you got to eat it in Yerushalayim, which means everybody's got to spend some amount of time in Yerushalayim. You need to have that whatever, the Yarchei Kala experience, where you go back to Yerushalayim and you get to experience a certain sense of Yerushalayim that you're not accustomed to throughout the year, that will recharge the batteries. And that's the context within which Torah is meant to thrive. So that was the original takana. But Vadayin, Mishi Yeshlav Hayamalu Melamdo, someone who had a father who could drive carpool and bring him to Yerushalayim, his father would do so. Mishi Lav Loya Alulamad, but someone who didn't have a father to bring him to Yerushalayim would never end up getting to Yerushalayim and would never end up learning. So Eskimish Yomishivin B'chol Pelech U'Pelech. So they decided to set up Melamdei Tinokos in every little province. Umachnisin Osan Kiben Tezayin Kiben Yudzayin, and they would start teaching the children Torah when they were 16 or 17 years old, which seems like a little bit late to start teaching them Torah, right? The Mishnah tells us Ben Chamish LeMikra, Ben Esra LeMishnah, Ben Chamish Esra LeTalmud. Maybe the assumption was that the fathers could handle it on their own until that age. And now, when they were getting to a real significant age of achievement in Talmud Torah on a deeper level, right? That's what Rav Shechtu told us, that the Tanaim had it right when they said Milchamish Esri the Talmud. He said, I joined Rav Soloveitchik Shir when I was 16. If I would have gone when I was 14, I probably wouldn't have understood it so well, right? So that's the raya that you need to be Milchamish Esri the Talmud. So Mishaya Rabo Koi. So the problem is, if you start with teenagers and that's the first time he ever has a classroom experience, if the Rebbe would get angry at him, Mavit Bo V'Yatza, he would just kick the Rebbe and leave, because he's just as strong as the Rebbe and he's a rebellious teenager. So that's how it would happen. He never learned classroom etiquette prior to that, or the idea of Kvod Rav. Instead of just having every province where the kids were old enough to be able to take the subway on their own and they were able to figure their way to the yeshiva, he set up a takana that it would be in every single medina, every single city. Once it's a very localized enterprise, so people could do it at a very young age. Well, which is it, Keben Sheish or Keben Sheva? So Tosfos writes, Keben Sheish Bibari, Keben Sheva Bekachlush. It depends how robust and strong the child was. If he was a healthier child, so at the age of 6, he was ready, able to handle it. Less so than at the age of 7, he was ready to handle it. The Yad Ramah points out that, and who was paying these Melamdei Tinokos? Part of the takana was that it was a tax on the city, that the Bnei Aniyim should be able to learn the same as the Bnei Ashirim, that everyone had to pay a certain tax to be able to keep the schools running, not dissimilar to the American public school system, where everybody pays, and therefore the Bnei Aniyim, Kibnei Ashirim, it's not perfect in the American public school system, you know, there are failing schools, but whatever, the Bnei Aniyim, Kibnei Ashirim, should be able to be Zocha to have such an education. So Amalei Rav, the Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas, the Rav said to Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas, who happened to have been a Melamed Tinokos, Ad Shis Lo Tekabel, until the child is 6 years old, he's not going to be Makabel to learn Torah because he's still too weak. He's not going to be able to withstand the Ol HaTorah, even though it does say Ben Chamish LeMikro. But there, that Tosafot points out that's talking about a Tinok that's extremely healthy. Over here, Rav is talking about a Stam healthy Tinok, that a Stam healthy Tinok is not really ready at the age of 5, which is an astonishing line of Tosafot. You would imagine when it says Ben Chamish LeMikro, it means every child at the age of 5 is ready for Mikra. So Tosafot says, no, that's very aspirational to say that Ben Chamesh LeMikra. A lot of times parents are ready for their children to to finish all of Shas. Every parent looks for to make up for their own failings through their children, and they put a lot of pressure on their children to achieve enormous amounts at a very young age. And sometimes lo tekabel, you gotta be a little more patient. You have to realize that not everyone is gonna be ready at such a young age. Mikan ve'el a couple of us the ketura. But once he's ready, then you stuff him like an ox. I mean, you have to teach him Torah, even bal karcho, even when he's not so happy. It's a very delicate balance to be able to force a learning upon him, but not before he's ready for it. And he told Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas, again, he's the one receiving these instructions because he apparently was a Malami Tinokas, that when you have to hit a child, you should only hit him with the shoe strap, which is not going to hurt that much. The Kari Kari, and the Talmud who learns properly will continue to do so. The Lo Kari Lavit Safsa Lechavre, and even the Talmud who's not learning properly, nevertheless, he'll sit together with his friend. He'll be able to sit together, and you don't have to hit him more than necessary, because ultimately peer pressure is the greatest teacher to encourage the students to be able to learn Torah. So now the Gemara asks three different challenges to the din that Rava said that neighbors are not able to be mocha, to make a macha, amelam de tinoko. So Meisvei, challenge number one is we have a brisa as follows. Echad b'nei chatzar shvikesh lasos rofei uman v'gardi umelam itinokos b'nei chatzar ma'akvin alav. That if one of the b'nei chatzar wants to set up a rofei, which we assume over here Rashi says is a moel, or an uman means a makiz dam, someone who does bloodletting, a gardi is a weaver, or a melam itinokos, the other b'nei chatzar could prevent him from doing so because it's going to cause a lot of noise, it's going to cause a big racket. So don't you see that you're not able to stop, you're not able to prevent a melamed tinokos from coming in? The Abrama points out, lav dafka, these professions, it's just these are very noble professions, so you would think that we'd have a little more leeway for these people to be able to open up. But certainly if you're opening up a stama business that has no noble cause associated with it, then for sure the b'nei chatzar could be ma'akev alav. But bottom line is, our question is, what about melamed tinokos? You see that they can be ma'akev. And for the Gemara, Achmeskinam b'tinokos tov v'chavim. This price is talking about a person who's a melamed tinokos. He teaches a profession to non-Jewish children. That since it's there's no mitzvah in doing so, the neighbors have the ability to make a macha'a. But if he's being melamed Torah to Jewish tinokos, then they cannot make a macha'a. It's not abundantly clear from the Gemara what is the key over here. Is the key what the subject matter is, or is the key who the students are? Is it that the students are non-Jewish and that's why they could stop it? But had it been Jewish students, where there is a dvar mitzvah in teaching Jewish students a profession, that is also a mitzvah that its father is obligated to do for his child, or do we say no, the key over here is the difference between Torah versus non-Torah studies? So the Rishonim point out, Rabbeinu Yonah and the Ritva point out, that it's not really about who the students are, it's about what the limud is. And that's just Orcha de Mil Sanakat, that normally if you're teaching a trade school, if you're opening up a trade school, so you're going to have a lot of nachrim that are part of the student body, but it's not really about who the students are. It's more about what it is that is being taught. So now the Gemara challenges Rava from a second place. Tashema, we have another braisa. Shnayim Shiyosh from Chatzar, you have two people in a single Chatzar. Bikeshach Men Lasos Rofe V'Uman V'Gardim Lamitinokos Chaveru Makev. I love a very similar idea that all these very noble, wonderful professions that you try to open up in a chatzar, the other people are allowed to prevent you from doing so. Now, we already had a price that said exactly the same thing. So the Rishonim struggled with why do we have a need for this price? So Ben Yonah writes that over here the chiddush is that even a yachid is able to be makiv on a yachid. Previously it was that that the rabbim are able to be makiv in the yachid, that all the neighbors get together and they develop a neighbors union and they try to shut him down. This is one neighbor says, I don't like this, and that's enough that he's able to shut it down. So says Mara Hachanami Bitrogs of the Chavim, but we can make the same ukimta to answer the question in the same way that we're talking about Tinokas of the Chavim. A third challenge, Tashima, Mishir shall buy his bechatzar shutafin. If you have a house in a chatzar that's owned by partners, Hareze lo yaskirenu, do not rent out that house. Lo lerofe, velo leuman, velo legardi, velo lesofer Yehudi, velo lesofer Amai. It's almost the exact same price, except now instead of dividing it up, just as Malame Tinokos, where you have the easy out, where you can just say, oh, it's a guy, it's a Malame Tinokos guy, and we now split it to sofer Yehudi and sofer Amai. So the fact that we split up those two phrases, you see, the sofer Yehudi must be he's being Malame Torah to Tinokos Shabbos Rabban, and still the neighbors are able to prevent a person from opening up in the chatzer. So says this price is talking about a person who's melamed all of the tinokos of the city, and he's the one that trains the other melamdim, and he's the principal, and there's a much larger rash that's created. So in that case, even Rava will be moda that the shechena be makim. Meaning, you want to open up a little Talmud Torah, you want to open up a little class of chevra of talmidim that are going to learn with you, because it's 8. But you want to start an enterprise, you want to start a whole school system where you're going to be running the whole thing, and everything's going to be running through our private chatzer. No, that the zoning laws will actually prevent. Okay, so now we're going to continue in the Takanos of Yeshua ben Gamla. Amarav mitakanos Yeshua ben Gamla ve'elach. From the times of the Takanos of Yeshua ben Gamla, where they have in every city, they said Amalam de Tinokos, Lomam Tinin Yenuka Mimasa Lamasa. We don't bring a child from one city to another city in order to teach him Torah, meaning the child might say, I'm growing up in a small little town, there is no Malami Tinokos in my town. So we don't say, okay, so you'll take the bus for 3 hours to go to the next town. No, we have to force the people of your town to set up a melamed. We don't make the child travel. But within the same city, we will bring the Melamed Tinokos from one Beis HaKnesset to another, and you don't have to be you don't have to set up the Melamed Tinokos in the shul that's closest to his house. But if there's the river separates between the Batei Knesios, then you do not force the child to go through a river every day, because that's a chashash sakana. He might go alone and he's going to fall. Rabbeinu Gershom says it's going to be a tragedy waiting to happen. But if there's a bridge, a wide bridge over the river that brings the tinokos, even derech hanahar, you don't have to worry about sakana because it's wide, it's stable, it's going to be fine. However, if it's a very narrow bridge that's not so stable, there's gamla. That's what we mentioned before. That maybe that's why he was Rabbi Shua ben Gamla. That if we do not force the child to travel. Rather, we would set up a separate school for him. So that's the concern, that if it's a gamla, if it's a very rickety bridge, we're not going to make a kid go over such a thing every day. The number of children that belong in a single classroom with one rebbe is 25 children. And if there are 50 children, well, then you need to have two rebbeim. You need to split the class into two. V'ik arba'in, and if there are 40 children, makmin and reish duchna, then you have a teacher's assistant that comes in to help out. M'seyan le'mimasa, and the bnei ha'ir have to help out the melamed by paying to hire that secondary melamed. V'amarava ha'imekri yinuki degaris. If you have a melamed tinokos who teaches children really really well, v'ik achrina degaris tfeimine. But there's another one who's a super duper star, and that one's going to be really wonderful. Wonderful. You do not fire a Rebbe that did nothing wrong and is doing a perfectly fine job just because you could find a Rebbe that you think is going to be superb, is going to be superior. Because you have to be choshesh that if you fire the first Malami, the second one is going to become a Balgaiva, and that will automatically turn him into the worst Rebbe around. Meaning, once he develops that sense of, oh, look at this, they brought me in to take care of that guy because that guy wasn't, even though that guy was doing a perfectly good job, but I'm such a super. superstar. Any Rebbe who refers to himself as a superstar, he is not going to be a superstar for long. So that's it's not going to work out. Rav Dimi Minarda says that we do fire the first guy because Kol Shekein Degaris Tvei, if it creates a sense of competition that whoever is going to do the best job of teaching the children the best, it will push people to be better. Kina Sofrim Tarba Chachma, that the fact that there's kina among the teachers is going to enhance the overall educational experience. Meaning, the second guy is going to be worried about the jealousy of the first guy. He's going to want to do a great job, so that they're never going to want to push him out. It does not say kinas chachamim tar b'chachma, because someone who's at the maila of a chacham is the Marsha writes, and when a person achieves that maila of a chacham, he's no longer subject to such petty feelings such as kina. A chacham is greater than a sofer. That's what the Marsha writes. That Yishma chacham of Yosef Lekach. That a sofer is someone who's not yet at the maila of a chacham, like a mikri dardiki. So they tend to have more of a sense of jealousy. But sometimes you find people are on such a level of tzidkus that it seems that they're no longer subject to feelings of jealousy. Shaniska, we should see people like that. If you have two people that are both mikri dardiki, that are both melamdi tinokos, chad garis v'lo dayik, one of them learns a lot with the children, but he's not very precise to make sure that the kids aren't making any mistakes in their understanding. V'chad dayik v'lo garis, and one is extremely precise, but because of his precision and because he's making sure the kids have everything 100% down cold, he's not really covering much ground. So masvin mu the garis v'lo dayik, shamesh to mele nafka. Take the guy who's covering a lot of ground. Whatever mistakes he makes are ultimately going to fall away. This is what the Rishonim point out, that it does not mean, the Rishonim points out, it does not mean that he's teaching incorrectly, that he's teaching things that are not correct. No, he's teaching correctly, but he's not stopping to make sure that every kid chapped correctly. So those are the kinds of mistakes that are going to fall away. If he's teaching incorrectly, that's not necessarily going to fall away, because the Rebbe said, what do you mean? If the Rebbe said, then that must be correct. If he's teaching correctly, but the kids just aren't able to pick up on every nuance, shabesh to memele nafka. Such a mistake will ultimately fall away. Rav Dimi Nardam or Mosfin in the Daik Vologaris. No, take the one that teaches with more precision, with make sure that the one that makes sure the kids understand better, shabesh to kibindol ol. Because a lot of times the girsa diankasa is what sticks with the child, and if the girsa diankasa is a mistake, he's going to live the rest of his life with these misunderstandings and mistakes. The Gemara brings a raya that a mistake doesn't go away so quickly, because the pasuk says when it came to the Melchemes Edom, that David sent Yoav, the general, to fight a war and to kill them. Ki sheshes chadashim yashav sham Yoav v'kol Yisrael ad hichris kol zachar be'edom. That he wiped out all the zachar be'edom. So kiyasal l'kameh to David. When Yoav came back to David at the end of the war, after he killed out all the males of Edom, so Amalei, David says to Yoav, my time avad tachi, why did you do that? You only killed the males and you didn't kill the females. So Amalei, Yoav said to David, oh, because I learned, tichziv, the pasuk says, timcha es Zachar Amalek, right? We've all been in shuls where they pronounce that word in multiple ways, but no one's ever pronounced it as Zachar. We have Zecher, we have Zecher, right? But Zachar is the way he learned it. That in the Torah, there's only mitzvah that you're supposed to kill out the males of Amalek. So Amalek, David said to you, Avahanon, Zecher Karinan. But it's supposed to say Zecher, or Zecher perhaps, but it's supposed to say Zecher, not Zachar. Amalek, so Yoav said to David, Ano, Zachar Akarion. My Rebbe taught me that it's Timcha as Zachar Amalek, and that's why I only killed the males. That's what I was taught as a child, so I always assumed that was the halacha. So also Shaili l'Rabbi, so Yoav wanted to track down his Rebbe who taught him as a child to see what happened. Amalei, Hecha Kriyasan. So he said, how did you teach me? So Amalei, the Rebbe said, I taught you. Now here's the problem. The Gemara doesn't have Nekudos, it's unclear what the Rebbe told him. There are different deos over here, but let's say the Rebbe said, Zecher, I taught you correctly, which is how Tosfos understands in the name of Rabbi Chananel, that the Rebbe actually taught him correctly. He just wasn't midaktik enough to make sure that Yoav actually understood it and that he internalized it. Because if he really made a mistake and that he didn't even know the whole thing, then it's not Osam Alech Shemaim Rami, as we're about to say. The Rebbe was also mistaken. He wasn't, it's not a failure in terms of making sure the children understand. That's how many of the Rishonim understand. However, the Yad Rama writes that the Rebbe Rebbe responded, Zachar. And the Marshal says that that's also included in the Osam Malach Hashem Ramiyah, because he knew that he wasn't a big enough bucky, he knew that he was not a big enough expert, and you have no business teaching the children something that you know that you don't know well. You have to know the material that you're teaching, one has to know it extremely well. So, but the Pashtus is he told him Zecher, that he told him the correct pronunciation at this point. So Shakal Safsir the Mikdale, Yoav is ready to kill the Rebbe. So Amalei Amai, the Rebbe said, why do you want to kill me? Amalei Yoav said, because the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu says, Arur Osa Melechas Hashem Ramiya, that you made Melechas Shemaim into a terrible thing. You weren't careful enough. So Amalei, Shafke Lu Gavr Telekum Ba'arur. Okay, so let me be cursed, but don't kill me. So Amalei, so Yoav said, Ksiv Ba'arur Moneach Harba Midan. But it says, Arur Moneach Harba Midan, that cursed is one who withholds a sword from blood. So Yikadamri Katle, Yikadamri Lo Katle. Two versions of how the story ended. Some say he killed him, some say he did not kill him. Why would he not have killed him? So the Ritva says, because he was a shogeg, my dahava hava. You know, what are you going to do? You're already an adult. Well, it's already over. There's nothing that's going to, killing him is not going to solve anything at this point. There is, where does the discussion come from in terms of zecher and zecher is not really from this Gemara, right? Meaning that there are those that try to figure out which one is more similar to zachar, where it's more likely that a child would have heard zachar. You know, would you have heard zachar if he said zecher? Maybe you would have heard zachar if he said zecher. But it's not hard to bring a raya from that. The way we have the Mesorah, the Balei Mesorah tell us that it's really Zecher. The idea that we do Zecher as well when we read Parsha Zachar is based on a... it's based on Maisa Rav. Then in the Vilna Gaon, the Maisa Rav, it says that the Anhaga of the Gra was that he read it as Zecher. It does not say he read it twice. It says that he read it as Zecher, only Zecher, and not Zecher. That's what it says in the Maisa Rav. It's fascinating that when they went to get a Haskama for the Maisa Rav from the leading Talmud of the Vilna Gaon, from Rav Chaim Velazhiner, Rav Chaim Velazhiner said, read the book, it's fantastic, you got almost every Anhaga correct, you only got two wrong. And one of them was, he said, I never heard the Gra say Zecher, I don't know what you're talking about with that. So that and that's the Maisa Rav that the Mishnah Berurah quotes, when the Mishnah Berurah says, we read Zecher and Zecher because of the Maisa Rav. So, and the Maisa Rav, Rav Chaim Velazhiner says it was a mistake. He says, maybe I wasn't around when the Gra got older, and maybe he did it later on in life. But anyway, there are other sources for Zecher. Rav Shachter told me Rav Soloveitchik used to say, every single time he said Ashrei, Zecher Rav Tuvcha Yabiyu, he would say it twice. Zecher Rav Tuvcha Yabiyu and Zecher Rav Tuvcha Yabiyu, because that's quite a chumrah, right? That your last name has to be Soloveitchik to take on a chumrah like that. So, V'yamer Rava. Rava also said, Mikri Yanuka, that a Malami Tinoka Shatala, a sharecropper that plants vineyards in order to get a portion of the payrolls as his payment, tabchor shochet v'umna, or a blood letter v'sofer masa, or the sofer of the city that writes the stam, the sefer Torah Tefillin Mezuzos, kulan kamusr va'um dininu. All of them are as if they were already warned that if they mess up their malach, they're going to be fired. Meaning there is no warning first and then you get fired. There's no three strikes and you're out. Strike one and you're out. Klal demil. So the rule is called pseidel ha'demusr va'minu. Anytime you know that it's an irretrievable loss, that if you mess up, this is going to be something that cannot be fixed, well, then you're considered forewarned in advance. You're not going to get a second warning. Amravuna haibar mavua doki richaya. A person who lives in a mavui and he sets up a mill in order to grind flour for the people, for other people, for payments. Vasa bar mavua chavre v'kamoki gabe. And another one comes and sets up a mill in the same mavui. Dinu demaki v'lave. The first guy could say, hey, you're ruining my business. I was here first. You're ruining my entire livelihood. This is what's often referred to in as Hasagas Gvul, even though it's not really Hasagas Gvul. Hasagas Gvul Re'echa means you're not allowed to move a fence over on a property, onto your friend's property to try to steal some of his fields. But this is what we call Yoridum Naso Shel Chaveiro. But in common parlance, it's called Hasagas Gvul. So maybe we could bring a raya to Rav Huna. So from a brisa, Machikim Mitzutz Sadag Menadog. If you have a fisherman that sets up a net, another fisherman wants to come set up another net, you have to set up a certain distance in order to set up a second net. How much is that? Amra Baravuna ad parsa. That's a shear of a parsa, which is quite a distance. So you see that you're not allowed to go and ruin someone else's livelihood when it comes to fishing, and therefore it's a raya that you're not allowed to do when it comes to a mill either. So it says, well, it's not a raya because shiny dogim diavi seyara. When it comes to fish, it's different because the fish are going to look where the food is, and then they're going to direct themselves to that place. So from the moment the first fisherman puts his his traps down, those fish are coming toward him. So now someone else is going to come put those traps out, and you're diverting fish that were already on their way toward the first one. So you're taking the actual schora away from him. And so they're already headed into his traps. So that's not a raya about setting up a mill where you set up another mill where you're not taking anyone away. Maybe Rav Huna is assuming like the sheet of Rav Yehuda, because we have machlokas Rav Yehuda lechamim in the following Mishnah. The Tana and the Mishnah Bamitzia says Rav Yehuda amar lo yichalich and vani klayus vegos on the tinokos, that a storekeeper should not have store giveaways of candies and things like that for children who come to shop at a store. B'neishem argilin atzlo, because he's going to cause them to the children to choose that store to buy things, and that way he's going to be mazik the parnasa of the other storekeepers. V'cham matir and the Chum say there's nothing wrong with doing that. So it sounds like they're arguing about this very issue, that according to the Chum you're allowed to do that even though it's ruinous competition. You know you're going to be ruining the other guy's business. And Rabita says, no, you cannot do that. You cannot ruin somebody else's business. So you see, Rav Huna says not to set up another mill is like Rabbi Yehuda, who says that you cannot ruin someone else's business by giving away candies. So it says, Rav Huna could even be going like the Rabbanan, who says that you are allowed to give away candies. Because that can look pretty Rabbanan le Rabbi Yehuda Hassam, Ella da Amar le, Anakama Fligna Amguzi at Plokshiuski, that the Rabbanan only say you're allowed to give away candies because everyone has the ability to do the same thing. You can come up with your own giveaway. I'll give away this stuff, you'll give away some other swag, you'll have some other promotion that you'll lure the kids in with. But when it comes to setting up another mill, even the Rabbanan will be mota, that what are you doing? You're ruining the guy's entire livelihood. So Mesve, the Gemara challenges from Brisa, Osa Adam Chanus Bitsad Chanusu Shalchvero, person can set up a store next to his friend's store, Umerchatz Bitsad Merchatz Shalchvero, and a bathhouse next to his friend's existing bathhouse, Veni Yachalim Chus Biadoni Knamik Machab Neshi Yachalomerlo, because the second guy could say, Ata Osa Batok Shalcha, you make your store, your bathhouse in your own Rishus, Vani Osa Batok Shali, and I'll do so in my own Rishus. So you see that you're allowed to be Yori Luminasu Shalchvero against Rav Huna. So answers the Gemara, Tanaihi. Maybe the din of Rav Huna is subject to machlokas tanaim, and Rav Huna holds like one of those tanaim that disagree with the brisa and prohibits a person from opening up a store in right next to someone else's existing store. Did Tanya, because we have a brisa, kofin b'nei mavuos ze ezeh shlo lo hoshu b'nei lo chayit v'lo borsaki. People who live in a mavoi are able to force each other not to establish among them a tailor or a tanner, v'lo melami tinokos, nor a teacher of children, v'lo echad b'nei bali umnius, nor any other of the other professions. The b'nei mavoi can make such a condition that you're not allowed to rent out your residence to any of these professions if you live in this mavoi, in order that it shouldn't affect those who are already living in this neighborhood and have those professions and make their living doing it. But the b'nei mavoi cannot force the neighbor not to be engaged in that umnus because he also lives in the mavoi, meaning you can't rent it out to some outsider who's going to come in and he's going to open up a competing store. But a guy who lives in the neighborhood and this is his profession, so he's allowed to practice his profession as much as the first guy. You could even force the neighbor not to be osik in this umnus because someone else find a different profession. If by practicing your own profession, you're going to be costing the first guy. So it turns out the Rav Huna holds that we can ask the neighbor not to set up a rechayim is going like the Shita Rav Shimon Gamliel, who says that even if someone else lives in this neighborhood, you can force him not to set up in this neighborhood. So the Gemara brings a suffix in these halachos within the Shita of the Chachamim. Amar Rav Huna brings Rav Shua Pshitali Bar Masa Bar Masa Achriti Matzima Akev. It's possible to me that a member of one city could prevent a member of another city from opening up shop over here because that's called that he's being Yored Lum Nasa Shel Chavero. Meaning, and even according to the Chachamim, that a person cannot be Ma'akev on his neighbor, but he can be Ma'akev on members of another city from opening up. The shayach bekarga dahacha. But if the person who lives in the other city is willing to pay the local taxes, so then he's considered like a bnei ir lo matzi ma'akev, and therefore bnei ir cannot prevent him. That's always the answer, right? Meaning, whenever you have someone that opens up, a guy lives in in Muncie, and he decides to open up a supermarket in Lakewood or whatever, and the people in Lakewood say, "Wait a second, he's coming from the outside and he's ruining the local." He says, "I pay taxes. If I pay the taxes in the local town, so then I'm bnei masa. I'm a member of that town, and therefore I'm allowed to open up over here." So Rav Huna ben Yehoshua goes on to say that it's also pashut that bar mavua dinafshei lo matzi ma'akev, that a ben mavui is not able to prevent his neighbor from the same mavui not to be osik in the same umnus that he does, like the shita of the chachamim against Rav Huna, who held the Rav Shimon Gamliel. By Rav Huna ben Yehoshua, bar mavua achrina mai. What if it's the same city, different mavui? What's the halacha? Do we assume that when the chachamim say l'shcheino eino kofehu, that you can't force a neighbor, that's only by a shachin in the same mavui, but a ben mavui from a different mavui is not your shachin and you can prevent him? Or do we say, no, if you're in the same city, then you're all shachin, then you're all considered to be neighbors with each other? Take who the Gemara leaves this question unresolved. The Tosfos Yom Tov writes in Maseches Edios that the word teku means tehei ka'i, that it's supposed to stand as a kasha, but most of the way we were taught in fifth grade was that it actually stands for Tishbi Yitareis Kushiyos Yubayos, but anyway, we leave that as a suffix. So Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Amar Rav Yosef, four lines from the bottom of the page. As of now, we're going to still be on schedule for 5:20 tomorrow. I do plan, we have a trip tomorrow, but I do plan on being back by 5:20 tomorrow. So Hashem, regular time. Okay, everyone have a great evening.
Rebbe, thank you.
My pleasure.